I'm Frank Vaughn. It is April 14th, 2025, my 13th wedding anniversary. And in the interest of saving money and also in honor of the number 13, my wife and I have both agreed to keep it a very low-key affair. I may do some barbecuing later, but there will be nothing special. But I want to give her a shout-out. My number one fan, my biggest supporter, my wife, the love of my life. I want to begin today by talking about Mark Carney's book, just briefly, because I don't want to get into it too much until I'm done with it. But a couple quotes for context. Firms that align their business models with the transition to a net zero carbon economy will be rewarded handsomely. Those that fail to adapt will cease to exist. Mark makes it pretty clear in his book that his number one priority is climate change and the government rigging markets in an effort to fight it, as if we can fight climate change, something that's been ongoing. You're in an interglacial warm period. Thank your prosperity and thank your life on the fact that the ice is melting and has been melting for 10,000 years. This is nothing new. The second thing, or second quote, I should say, is it was left to Karl Marx to square the circle. In his book, Carney mentions Karl Marx 33 times. He references Jesus once, and it's only in a quote by someone else. Carney makes it clear that he feels that Adam Smith and Ricardo, both brilliant economists, were just a prelude to Karl Marx's mastery. This is the man running to be prime minister of this country. How dare he write about justice? He writes in his book very clearly that he doesn't like rent-seeking, that he has a very hard time with people who own things and then renting them back to labor, that somehow the concept of shared ownership, communism, under Karl Marx, makes more sense. And yet, at the same time, and this is so important, at the same time, this is a man who headed two central banks, who quarterbacked Brookfield Investments, who is proud, as he writes in the preface of this book, of establishing something called GFANS, which represents $140 trillion in wealth, all bent towards the net zero project, which he now claims with lukewarm terms to have abandoned in favor of creating an energy powerhouse in Canada. The thing to understand is this man defames and diminishes the very work that has made him the oligarch that he is. He does one thing, and he says something else entirely. The same is true for his quest to become prime minister of this nation. He is telling you what you want to hear to try and get an election win. And when it's done, even the liberal base will be surprised at the depth of betrayal he will unleash upon you at the head of a government that has been ruining this country for 10 long years. In spite of this very clear track record of Mark Carney's duplicity, very clear track record of him stepping in to buy distressed assets to fold into his multi-trillion dollar projects, and his very clear stance, in spite of his recent words, that he will end the oil industry, he will end the natural gas industry in Canada. You have hack jobs like Marcus Guy writing for the Globe and Mail, "Alberta's separatists have no case for breaking away from Canada." This is, now they throw the word opinion on here. That's what makes it passable and ethical, I guess. The picture reads, "On Team Canada, Alberta is always the one threatening to take its ball and go home." Has Alberta ever run an independence referendum? Or was that Quebec, the province that has bent this entire federation to its individual advantage? The same province holding the rest of this nation hostage. The province that stands in the way of pipelines that need to be built that would actually strengthen our position as a sovereign nation. Quebec, who likes Canada to be weak. Marcus Guy doesn't write about any of those things. He begins, Of all the dumb ideas kicking around the world right now, the dumbest may be making Alberta a separate nation. I am in God's country now, and it is the luckiest, richest, most privileged place in all of Canada, blessed with low taxes, bountiful resources, thriving cities, and a spectacular natural setting. All of those things that he mentions has nothing to do with the federal government in Ottawa. It has to do with the land underneath Albertans' feet and what they have built in spite of Ottawa. Marcus probably knows this, but he doesn't write about it. Yet some Albertans insist it is so hard done by that it must bolt from Confederation and issue passports of its own. A recent poll showed that a quarter of the province's residents would vote to leave Canada if a referendum were held today. Asked if they are proud to be Canadian, Albertans are less likely than Quebecers to say yes. Preston Manning, founder of the Reform Party, says that Westerners are so aggrieved about how they have been treated under the federal Liberals that a vote for Mark Carney is a vote for Western secession, a vote for the breakup of Canada as we know it. And Marcus Gee, before we commentate further on this deplorable piece of journalistic, it's not even journalistic, it's just poor. Absurd. Most people that threaten to secede do so because they feel they have been oppressed, excluded, thwarted, fleeced, or otherwise kept down. Quebec separatists say they need independence to protect the French language and culture. He's literally justifying, with a couple sentences, all of the drama that Quebec has caused this federation to the expense of every other province, and justifying it while diminishing Alberta's supposedly unjust concerns. This is a self-professed Alberta resident who is pretending that Alberta has no just case, no just reason for being angry and upset with the arrangement under the Federation. He asks that it is being robbed of its resource wealth by the rest of Canada? Get serious. The hated National Energy Program ended in 1985. Do you know what he doesn't mention in this article? Equalization. Nowhere is it mentioned. The very core, one of the principal planks of Alberta's problem with this federation. And Marcus just decides to leave it out and pretend it doesn't exist. Mark Carney promises to end the oil industry and the gas industry, not in the far distant future, but by 2030, which for those of you who are bad at math is only 5 years away. By the end of his first term, he intends to destroy this vehicle of prosperity that Marcus is writing about. Alberta prospers in spite of Ottawa. Mark Carney is campaigning to end that prosperity. When he talks about an energy powerhouse, he's just left out the word green. There's nothing green about green energy, but setting that aside, Mark Carney's duplicity is the reason we will face not just a sovereignty crisis, but an end to the current federation as it's designed. It would have to end. Otherwise, Alberta and Saskatchewan will both suffer irreparable harm if we stay in this federation. And if Manitoba and BC and the rest of the country lacks this vision, who cares? It will be time for us to seek our prosperity elsewhere because we will have yet again another government in Ottawa dedicated to the destruction of our ability to survive. This so-called article is just disgusting. I was going to be done with it, hence the cut. But I just want to read more. Alberta has the highest GDP per capita in the country. Alberta has the highest average weekly earnings in the country. Alberta has the lowest government debt per person in the country. Alberta has the lowest business taxes in the country. It found money in the ground and uses that oil wealth to pay for all the great rec centers, hockey rinks, libraries, hospitals, parks you see out there. That, not any talent for efficiency, is why Albertans pay such low taxes. And no provincial sales tax at all. What does any of that have to do with Canada and Ottawa? All of that exists in spite of the best efforts of Ottawa to either steal it or leave that money in the ground. And you act like Alberta labor doesn't have to sweat and bleed to pull that wealth out of the ground and then market it. Marketing it in spite of Ottawa's resistance to actually allowing that energy to reach a broader world market. We're captured by the United States, not because of the Americans, but because Ottawa has kept it that way. There's no other pipelines. And luckily, the Americans have just been standing there with their hand out full of capital and an empty hand to take the oil. If it wasn't for them, there wouldn't be prosperity. Everything happens in spite of Ottawa. Marcus has to know this. Is he just selling himself out because he wants an article published in the Globe and Mail? I don't know how any person with any semblance of honesty or shred of integrity could ever pen such a piece of trash as this article. We are being groomed for an inevitable Mark Carney win. Inevitable is not my word, because I will fight this until it is set in stone. There is no reasonable way anybody should reward the Liberal Party with another vote. This is the fourth term. Somehow, with their willing allies and partners in the media, they have managed to create this idea that Carney is coming in as an outsider to right the ship, that even though underneath him are the same ministers, the same MPs, the same people who enabled Trudeau through all of his exploits, covered up his scandals, enabled him to deconstruct and spend this country into oblivion, that somehow Mark Carney symbolizes something different, that those people weren't rotten. They were just going along with the leader's edicts. Mark Carney's a new leader. They're going to go along with a new leader, and somehow it will lead to magical and better outcomes. But they are scared of the Poilievre-led CPC. And there are those who say that there's no difference. They use the term uniparty. It doesn't apply in this election. And it doesn't apply because there's never been such a concerted effort to promote through the media, through the unions, through just about anybody that can promote an outcome, to promote the Liberal Party over the Conservative Party. For whatever reason, they are legitimately fearful of Pierre Poilievre. And there are those who say there's no difference between the two parties. I have been immensely critical of the CPC over the course of time, but I've also been honest. There are huge policy differences this time, the biggest being Poilievre is not a central banker. He is not Mark Carney. Mark Carney literally wrote a book telling us what his plan is for this country. It's the end of prosperity. It's practically the end of private property that doesn't come down on high. The book advocates for the control of markets. It's a condemnation of capitalism, that markets must be instilled with values that come from the technocrats. Markets can't be left to their own devices. They're evil. He actually compares, well, I don't want to get into it. I want to get into it when I'm ready to do the book review. But you're being groomed. Leaders' debates have come to mean less and less. This is analysis and opinion by a guy named James Moore on CTV News. They know that in the leadership debates, Mark Carney will perform poorly. This is widely anticipated. And Poilievre, for whatever shortcomings you want to assess to him, he's a very effective debater. He's a very effective argumentative individual. He's probably set to do well, and so they're already preparing you to say that even if Mark falls flat on his face, Poilievre is still a loser, and it doesn't matter. These guys are all at the trough taking money from the government to produce this stuff. James Moore is likely subsidized directly by the government legislation, which bans Canadian news from social media platforms like Facebook. Unless you're willing to pay a bribe to the Canadian government, which Google paid $100 million, which is used to subsidize the media directly. State-funded media. Not just the CBC, but every single media outlet in Canada is doing this. Do you understand the gravity of the situation we find ourselves in 2025, and just what a Mark Carney government means to those in Canada who are convinced that either Canada is worth saving or that there's nothing wrong? You're going to find out. And back to the original article, Western Canada already knows. We're not stupid out here. The people who are smart in this country, you'll vote with your feet. You'll get here before D-Day. It's been time for years to get out of Canada and come to a place where we might be able to forge a new and better future, whether as part of the United States or as an independent republic. I could care less. Under Mark Carney, we have one choice left, and we have to leave. And if the people here don't embrace that choice, well, then I guess we all sink with the ship. There's nothing to hold on to in Canada anymore under a fourth Liberal term. That's it. And don't get me wrong, you can make a compelling case that there's nothing to hang on to even if the Conservatives win a large majority. And you might be right. And the case for Western separatism will not be as strong, at least in the immediate term. Is it possible that Ottawa under Poilievre could offer the West enough, could put enough on the table to mollify us for another 4 or 5 years? It's quite possible. Public opinion is fickle, even out here. But the core structural problems, equalization, lack of representation, a country bent to the will of Quebec, these things don't go away. And even if we can start building pipelines, we've only got 4 years. Maximum 5 if Poilievre wants to go that route. You're not going to get a pipeline built in 4 or 5 years. These are yesterday's solutions to today's problems. The solutions today are very different. We have to embrace the United States. The time to build that sovereign, wealthy, independent Canada was 10 years ago. And people might like all the talk, but it's too late. The fiscal picture of Canada, the debt burden that's being left to us by the Liberals, the de-sovereignized process of our resource sector that's been ongoing for quite some time, the presence of China in this nation, their foothold is huge. And I don't know that that's going to change under a Poilievre government. I do know it's worth a try, that the path forward in every way goes through the mainstream right here in this country. They either have to try and attempt to govern from the right and come up against the Senate and the judiciary, or they have to discredit themselves in the eyes of the public. And more importantly, rewarding the Liberals and rewarding Mark Carney with all the keys to power is not a feasible option, especially when you consider that everybody is aligning to defeat the Conservative Party of Canada. It's ridiculous. Jagmeet Singh, this is another headline from CTV, says he is the right person to lead the NDP. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh on why Canadians should vote for his party. No one's listening, Jag. As you sit there in your pink do-rag, you have led the NDP into perdition. You're broke. You can't raise money from your own members. You've had to go to the banks to borrow money to finance the current campaign. You have no idea what fiscal discipline's all about. And you're riding at 6 to 7% in the polls. You are going to lose your riding to a Conservative, sir. You may be the only person in this country whose hubris and narcissism is greater than Justin Trudeau. It took the entire Liberal caucus. It took the entire media party to turn on Justin Trudeau to be able to get him out of office in the first place as he cried his way through his governor general's meeting. How pathetic. And then sweep him under the rug as though he didn't exist. It is, they memory hold Justin Trudeau. A man that only months ago they were all proud to stand behind, including you, Jag, in spite of your words online, in spite of your supposed opposition. All you ever did was enable him and his party. That's your role. And you think you're a leader? You're a seersucker, suit-wearing politician who has relegated his party to the rubber stamp of the government of the day. You support oligarchs. You support globalists. You support big business in spite of all of your rhetoric. And his hubris and his absolute lack of self-reflection shows when he gives interviews where he talks about he's the right guy for the time. The NDP will be lucky if they have 2 or 3 seats coming out of this election, and they will have no money. They might be the only party that comes out of this more broke than the PPC. The NDP might survive as a federal party only because of the strength of provincial NDP options. But he has been taken advantage of by the Liberal Party. He's been led by the nose out to the far left and then abandoned there by Mark Carney. He has proven that as a leader, he doesn't exist because he's shown no leadership this entire time. He's a lapdog. So many people say, with a casual disregard to the millions of Canadians who don't, that Canadians deserve what they get. We deserve it because we voted for it. Millions of us don't vote for it. Millions of us don't deserve this. And dare I say, even those who will be convinced by the lie, the most heavily propagandized people, those boomers that I alluded to in previous videos, because it is largely that cohort of the population, and again, there's millions of them who don't vote this way, but there's millions more who do, who have been propagandized and hypnotized by their TVs and by their radios for decades. It's hard to expect them to break free of their programming, but little do they understand the danger that they are in as well. Because the entire nation, and by nation I mean the land and the people, not the system, not the structure, not the federation, but what actually has value, is in grave danger from Mark Carney. There are conservative, so-called conservative commentators, alternative media, they spend their entire day talking about the Conservative Party and Pierre Poilievre in derogatory terms, highlighting all of their shortcomings, and they never engage with the real threat, which is the Carney Liberal-led government that is forming up and being programmed into our minds as we sit here talking. They're preparing us for this inevitable victory. It's not inevitable if people show up and vote. But why is it this obsession with the CPC and their shortcomings and this need to misrepresent them? There's enough there. And this is the part that really infuriates me, because I've been critical of the Conservative Party on a number of issues, and I'll continue to be as we move forward through time, because it's important to be. Ukraine, their approach to America, their fear of Donald Trump, their continued, it's less now than it was under Sheeran, it's less than it was under O'Toole, but they still continue to fear Canadian media criticism, which they shouldn't do. They should ignore what the media thinks and concentrate their efforts and their money on educating the Canadian public. Banning MAGA hats, not even MAGA hats, Make Canada Great Again hats aren't allowed in their rallies. Why do they do that? And we know why they do that, because it makes for bad optics. Here's the thing that people should respect. Canada is what it is, whether you like it or not. You might hate the system. You might hate the politics. Maybe you don't like the fact that well over a quarter of the population is foreign-born. These are all problems. But for politicians, in order to win elections and do anything, they have to navigate those problems. They can't just sit back and be ideological purists, or they won't win elections. There are so many people who absurdly claim that the PPC is the only party doing it the right way. If you're a party, your intention should be to win elections. But there's the PPC mired in the margin of error, 1.7%. Meanwhile, the Conservative Party's riding at 40%. Who's doing it right and who's doing it wrong? For politics, not ideological purity. And instead of focusing on the easy target, which is Mark Carney and his history, and talking about him every single day, they talk about Pierre Poilievre nonstop and the Conservative Party nonstop. Whether they unwittingly or consciously are doing it, they are engaged in the same effort that the globalists, the liberals, the media party, the public sector unions are all engaged in, which is defeating the Conservative Party of Canada. Instead of occasionally taking a break to highlight the positive differences and points, they make the claim that there's no difference between the CPC and the Liberals, and it's not true. It's objectively not true. On criminal justice, there's a difference. On legal gun ownership, there's a difference. On the very core principle that the CPC has not been in government for 10 years and that the Liberal Party has been, that's a core difference. And there's many other things I've highlighted on this channel. But instead, they make the claim that they're entirely the same, or they lie about the CPC's positions. Like, they talk about mandates. And they say that the Conservative Party supported all the mandates. It's not true. It's objectively not true. If you examine the voting record, if you go back to when Candace Bergen was deputy leader, they opposed mandates. Every opportunity to oppose mandates, they opposed them. They were defeated in Parliament because they didn't have the votes. I've read people saying, mainly PPC people, saying that the Conservatives never supported the convoy. Yet, it's clear that they did. They were there. While Aaron O'Toole was still the leader of the party, the Conservative rebellion was happening. Listen, you might ask, why didn't Pierre Poilievre stand up in the Parliament under Aaron O'Toole and call out his bad leadership? It's very simple in politics. If you do that, you don't have a Pierre Poilievre-led CPC today, with all of its shortcomings and all of its assets. Politics is done a certain way. There's a reason I'm not involved in politics, but I wish people that weren't involved directly in politics could respect what it takes to win elections. I don't think the Conservative Party should be afraid of the media. I think they should be courting controversy every step of the way. I think there's a valuable lesson there. And that's fine. That's a criticism. You can level at them. But this notion that they're just another version of the Liberal Party, if that was the case, why is there such a unity of effort to beat them? Because there's at least a chance of something different happening. Now, wipe that all off the table. Take it all away. How can you, in good conscience, even if all that stuff weren't true, how can you reward Mark Carney and the pseudo-election that made him leader of the Liberal Party? How can you reward the Liberals underneath him, the same cast and crew for the last 10 years? How can you actively work to reward them with a fourth term? Do you hate your fellow Canadian that much? I don't even hate their voters that much. I think most of them are misled and hypnotized. They just don't know different. They don't know any better. If it was up to me, I would represent them. Even as they hated me, I would work to help them. I wouldn't burn the whole thing down just to spite them. I mean, I think either way, we're facing a national unity crisis. I don't think that goes away with a Poilievre-led government. I think the challenges begin the day after the election. But I can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.